Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Vredestein Penza AT. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour number two on a Monday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. NFL game today. Cleveland hosts the Raiders. Then we get a night game. And then we get two games tomorrow, which include, I think, what the Rams and the Seahawks play tomorrow. Washington and Philadelphia play tomorrow. So, yeah, we're just trying to figure it out. I'm not too bothered. The NFL, where the NBA got into trouble, where they have these strong stands, and then they kind of bail with China. And people are like, whoa. NFL's always been pro-business. It's always felt kind of conservative, capitalistic, Wall Street-friendly. Like, I'm okay with them just moving stuff for the business. I don't think the NFL's ever tried to be anything other than, we're into the shield. We're into the business. You have to move them off things like celebrating and taunting. They're always a little more. And by the way, that's fine. You got the baseball culture. You got the basketball culture. You got the football culture. And the NFL's mostly been the sport. What's good for the bottom line? What's good for the bottom line is moving some of these games up. And Raider fans can say, well, we went through the protocol. Listen, we know sometimes that northern cities in America, Cleveland, Ohio, cold weather, more people indoors. Well, Vegas, warm weather, more people outdoors. It's perhaps easier. New York right now is getting crushed. London, cold weather is getting crushed. LA, yet not. Maybe Arizona, not quite yet. So you're just trying to make this stuff work and get games in. That's what you're trying. It's a business. We all know college football's a business.
Well, also, the players are represented by the NFLPA. Yeah. It's not like the NFL just did this and didn't collaborate with player representatives for what's going to make it easier to play the games and also still safe. And also, we have new information from medical professionals, not Reddit boards, and they adjust accordingly. This is a fluid situation. It's not just someone said something 6 months ago and now they changed their mind. They didn't change their mind. They got new information and updated how they do things.
Yeah. When people say, well, how come then you did? Because we have new information. And the Omicron, by the way, does look to be very spreadable, but not as punitive physically.
Correct.
So this is a new variant. So some of you out there just can't take new information. Like, you burrow into something. 40% of Americans, men, do not leave the zip code they were born in. Like, there's people out there that don't like change, and you told me this, and I'm going to let...
Which is fine, but you're not in charge of billion-dollar organizations with thousands of employees to make sure that you get through a season so everybody gets paid.
And the players...
By the way, the protocols never said that they weren't going to move the game. They said if it's an outbreak due to unvaccinated players, then they would not adjust the game. It's giving me, I do my own research. And by the way, they're allowed to change all the protocols whenever they want. So they're in charge.
And they're doing it with players' agreement.
Right.
Everybody's got an NFLPA. Everybody's gotten a representative for every team that goes up and talks, and they figure this crap out. We're calling right, calling wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Gift cards. Give them to everybody on your list. Couple of clicks, a couple of buttons. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I think the rest of the media is always like Dak more than I have. I've always felt intangibles better than tangibles. He's pretty good. Not special. Listen, he's got 78 passer rating last three games. Average yesterday under 6 yards of completion. Now, some of this is, he maybe feels like he doesn't have to throw the ball down the field, but he's struggled in the last 6 weeks. And I think the two times in Dak's career that he's won the most, his first year when they had the best rushing game in the league, and this year when they have one of the best defenses in the league. I've always felt Dak has to be pulled. He's not going to pull the franchise. And you're kind of seeing it now.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I moved the Packers out of the number one spot for the first time in my month in the herd hierarchy, and I put Tampa in there, and they laid an egg, literally, an egg. They didn't score. Brady had a 57 passer rating, and Thomas found his kryptonite. It's the Saints. He is 1-4 against the Saints, and he struggled to win the one game that he did win. No excuses for injuries. I will say this, Tristan Wirfs, right tackle, got worked. Not one of his better nights. But in the end, this is a bad matchup for Tom. 5 times they've met, he's lost 4 and could have lost the 5th.
Where Colin was right.
Anthony Davis of the Lakers has been a disappointment. Okay, like, he's hurt a lot. Not his fault. It's his reality. He doesn't appear to have great leadership DNA. He came into last season out of shape. He refuses to play the 5. He wants to shoot jumpers. You know what he's shooting from 3-point land this year? 17%. And the West is really good at the very top. I think Golden State and Phoenix are really good. Utah's pretty good. But the Lakers are a 500 team and a 7th seed in the West. It's not that good. I think if you're really honest about this, yes, the bubble was fantastic. But remember, in that bubble year, he got 4 months off. That's why he was healthy. He is simply a player you cannot count on physically.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, Trevor Lawrence is going to be fine, but in fairness, he was outplayed by Davis Mills yesterday, and I'm not getting a lot of wow stuff. He's got 1 touchdown pass in the last 7 games. He missed that touchdown right there. I still think he's really, really talented, and I don't think he has much to work with. They got to rebuild the O-line. They don't have speed at wide receiver. I mean, it's a bad team. There's a reason they had the number one pick. It is a bad, bad team, but I'm not seeing a lot of growth. He feels like this year he's sort of plateaued. Yesterday, again, outplayed by Davis Mills, missed on an open touchdown. And so, in fairness, I got to be honest, he's not looked like the generational talent I predicted he would be.
Where Colin was right.
I refused to bail. When the Colts had a losing record, I said, this is a playoff team. Now, they're not, maybe they've got Carson Wentz can drive me nuts. But I said, they do too many things right. I love their coach. Jonathan Taylor's the best running back in the league. They have a number one in takeaways. They get a pass rush without bringing extra people. And they're 8-6. They just beat New England. So, you know, you go to social media, you win a game, you're great. You lose the game, you're a bum. But I would not bail on this team. I think structurally, ownership down, it's a really, really good football culture. And you know how much I love Jonathan Taylor when he was drafted. I thought he was as good as any Big Ten running back, including Zeke. Maybe not as dominating early as Zeke, but he is just, I love the pick. I loved him at Wisconsin, and he's been everything I hoped.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I thought the Cincinnati Bengals were a 4th place team, and I'm happy to report me and my friend Joe Burrow, he's in 1st place. Yesterday was impressive. It was a really inartistic win. It was a gutty, ugly win, and this is a team driven by their offense, and they won yesterday without great offense. Here's the thing about Joe Burrow. He is consistently the best passing quarterback in his division. that guy usually wins his division. Joe Burrow makes good decisions. He's young, but I think Zach Taylor and him work, and I was totally wrong on the Bengals.
Where Colin was right?
I never bailed on Brian Flores either. Remember when Brian Flores this year, they were like 1-6 and 1-7, and all these ridiculous reports, he's in trouble. I kept saying, no. I know he can coach. I'm not worried about Brian Flores. I'm worried about the O-line. I'm worried about Tua. And I could say I was wrong on Tua, although I think he's got a low ceiling. But in the end, last 2 years with Brian Flores as head coach, and I don't think they have top five defensive personnel in the league. They've had a top five defense. They take the ball away. They don't allow a lot of cheapies. I really feel like Miami, and I said this earlier in the year, I think they're New England light. I think Belichick's a better coach this morning than Brian Flores, and I think Mac Jones is slightly better than Tua, but they really are New England. And a lot of people think New England can end up in the AFC Championship, and I think maybe they can, but I think Miami feels like New England with warmer weather and the same kind of safe quarterback, doesn't make a lot of big mistakes, although he had a pick six yesterday. I never bailed on Brian Flores. I know he can coach. You know, don't always blame the coach when things go wrong. They had O-line issues, and I think they, on most snaps, still do.
Where Colin was wrong.
Do I have a wrong one? Oh, I do. Russell Westbrook, yeah. I argued that Russell Westbrook was a good fit for the Lakers. I get a bunch of minutes, a bunch of hustle, a bunch of passion, and good production. There are now stories they're already ready to move him. So you know I don't love Westbrook. It's worse than I thought. Here's the thing. Is that he leads the NBA in turnovers, and he's a very stubborn player. Is that if the Lakers are looking to move him, they knew what they were getting. They knew they were getting points and production and hustle, but he doesn't really play analytically on the defensive end. He is 109th in shooting threes, doesn't work in their screen game. And so I'm not a fan of Westbrook, especially in crisis or crucial situations. But I thought it would be a really nice fit. 36 minutes. So I've been told he's friends with LeBron and friends with Harden. One got rid of him and one's about to. He's just a bad fit virtually everywhere at this point in his career.
Where Colin was right.
Jake Paul won by KO again. I said at the very first time, I've interviewed him three different times. And I said this at the beginning. He's taking it seriously. He's going to beat these guys. He's going to beat all these old UFC guys and these athletes. He's a big, strong kid who's taking it seriously. I'm not saying he's behind Ali as the second best heavyweight I've ever seen. That's not what he is. But let's be honest about boxing. There are very few captivating fighters in the world right now, unless you're a die-hard boxing fan, of which I'm mostly a casual fan of all sports. I love my family. I like my sports. He's entertaining. He's got a big right hand. He moves pretty well. He's totally into it. And he's going to beat all these UFC guys, and he's going to beat all these athletes. I really believe that. So a lot of you didn't believe any of it. And the thing I glommed onto quickly was, is he taking it seriously? Is this just a complete money grab, or is he getting something out of it beyond the money? And I think he is. Because let me tell you something. I've known a couple of boxers in my life. This stuff's hard. The training's brutal. The sparring's brutal. The fights are brutal. If it's just a money grab, there's no reason for this kid to do it anymore. Like, he's going to keep fighting. He fought Willie a second time. I'll fight him. I mean, look at his forehead. He's got a big gash in it. This stuff's not easy. So Jake Paul is legit for what he is. The best celebrity boxer on the planet right now. Probably by a lot. You got a big right hand. A big right hand.
Enjoyed it.
So I
don't know. I don't take myself so seriously, though.
There's a lot of people that are like, and it's, you can see it on the internet. There's a lot of people that are purists. And I'm just, there's not much. I think about this all the time. I'm not sure I'm a purist with anything. I don't go down that outside of, like, take wife, kids out of it, like that. I'm talking about industries or sports. I'm a purist. I'm not. I want to be entertained. I'm in radio. When I turn on the radio, here's what I care about. Is the host entertaining me? No, click. I'm not a purist. Yeah.
You and I get like very philosophical about this type of stuff because I think we're very similar in that vein. I just don't know. Does it mean we're like kind of soulless? I just can't Do we not have loyalty? I don't know what it is, but I'm with you. Like, I, outside of your family, which obviously, like, that's not even worth discussing. I'm not putting myself out there for anything that deeply.
That's the way I feel. Like, entertain me.
Like, I just can't. I'm just trying to get through this like everybody else. Like, I'm not going to lose my mind anything.
It's like the same way I am in politics. Like, I'm not loyal to conservatives. I'm not loyal to liberals. I'm, like, loyal to the legislation.
Yeah, I'm pretty much loyal to what's loyal to me.
Yeah, and I'm also loyal to...
And when
to,
that changes, then we're gonna adjust.
I see people all the time on the internet. They're left on everything or right on everything. And I'm like, I'm loyal to the legislation that would help me and my family. That's what... I'm an independent. I'm loyal to anything. I'm socially left. I mean, I was pro-gay marriage, pro-pot before Obama was. Like, I tend to be socially left, fiscally right. Why? Because I think it's better for my family.
Yeah, I think I've also spent my whole life trying to, like, discover myself. So I feel pretty strong in my own identity. So I don't, like, have to be a part of something to feel, you know, confident.
But the boxing people
jabs
get
at anybody.
You
but.
Guys shouldn't talk about this. No, I'm going to with this platform anytime I want.
Well, I mean, because that's where it gets into. Like, it's the same thing with, like, the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, it's nauseating. Like, it is a museum representing the best of the sport, telling the story of the greats. You are not the gatekeepers of heaven.
If some of them cheated, they cheated. I mean, by the way, there's bad people in the Hall of Fame. Not everybody's, Sunday school. Like, bad people in the Hall of Fame. Were you great at baseball? All right, check the box. I mostly follow them. I've always been able to separate art from artist. Some of the artists are out there. That's why they're artists.
Maybe that's what it comes down to. If you're in this side of the business, I think in some ways you have to do that. You're going to, you know, cover everything.
I had a news director years ago that said this. He said, don't listen, man. He said, what's your favorite candy bar? Like 25 years ago, I said Snickers. He goes, what if I told you the CEO of the Snickers company was the worst human being in the world? He goes, what candy bar don't you like? And I'm like, I don't get Three Musketeers. He goes, what if I told you that was the best guy in the world? And he's like, would you change candy bars? He's like, you don't know what's really happening in people's personal lives. Like, you don't really know as much as you think you know. So what do you like? Is it good for you? Is it good for your family? Is it good for those around you? Be happy with it.
But we're talking about fans, which is short for fanatic.
Yeah.
And look, we sound like two curmudgeons, but maybe this is what it is. Like, talking about sports every day kind of takes a little bit of the fandom out of it because you have to be impartial in some ways.
That could be it.
And you can't be impartial with love.
Good point.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow, it's a special primetime edition of the NFL on Fox. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles take on Washington, or the Rams look to continue their climb to the top of the division against the Seahawks. Check local listings for the game in your area tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern, only on Fox, the Fox Sports app.
I'll say it again. Now, I don't feel it's one of my bets of the year. I like Cleveland plus the points and the under today. I think Nick Mullins for a game is Tyler Huntley. Like, you can move the ball. I think sometimes you get these backups, a Colt McCoy, a Case Keenum, a Tyler Huntley. Not Tyler, I think, is better than Nick Mullins. But the point being is, I think Cleveland, better defense, better run game, at home. Stefanski's a better coach. I think their culture right now is better than the Raiders. They have some COVID chaos. But all their best defensive players are healthy today. I get Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, John Johnson, the rookie linebacker. I get Nick Chubb, three of their old linemen. I get David Njoku. They're better than the Raiders. Remember, most guys in the NFL are not worth a point. I don't think Cleveland's going to be great today, and Baker's obviously better. But Nick Mullins and Case Keenum, to me, are kind of a wash. I mean, I think Nick Mullins had a better college career. I think they're kind of a wash. I think Baker's better than both, especially over time. But in a game, four quarters, I think Nick Mullins, he's got a 65.5% career completion percentage. He can move the chains. He didn't have a big arm. It's a lot of Taylor Heineke's. I'm not building around him, but for a game, Colt McCoy can win games. Greg Olson's been so good for Fox Sports, 14 years in the NFL, a multiple-time Pro Bowler. You know, it's funny about sports. When you get this brotherhood, and you're like the Rams, they're missing a bunch of players. The Packers beat Arizona minus 11. For a game, you've been in this. For a game, it's weird what guys can do, and they band together. And I don't think Cleveland will be a disaster today. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the best example is just what like a backup quarterback could do, right? We've seen backup quarterbacks not only this year, but just in history come in and have a good spurt, a good game, a good stretch of games. It's when you have to rely on backups and you have to rely on reserve players for an extended period of time that it usually doesn't have the sustainability. But for any one week, for any one stretch of weeks even, guys are in the NFL for a reason. I mean, they might not beat the caliber of the guy in front of them or the caliber of the starter, but by no means does it just fall off a cliff, right? These guys can still play. Your backup quarterback should be able to win you a game. Your backup quarterback could potentially win you a game or two in a row. And the same thing with your reserve player. So, yeah, I don't think these teams are going to be complete disasters. But a lot of teams right now are testing their roster big time and the depth of a roster. I'll tell you, a GM and the personnel department, they're earning their money these last couple of weeks, because if you don't have depth on your roster, you're going to be exposed pretty quick in this environment.
I want to ask you about analytics. So, Greg, my feeling has always been, doesn't matter what the sport is, I'm pro analytics. But I also use the term manalytics, is that I'm going to rely on my team leaders. Like, I'd go to Baltimore last night and I'd look at them and I'd say, guys, you want to go for two here? They had momentum. Defense for Green Bay been on the field. Tyler Huntley in a 2-point conversion can do a lot of things. It didn't bother me. It didn't bother me what they did, even though they failed. What was your takeaway on Baltimore last night?
Yeah, I think it was the right call. I think in the world of analytics and whatnot, I think the only thing they misplayed is So when you're down 14, if you say, all right, I don't want to take Aaron Rodgers into overtime with a backup quarterback, that's completely the right call. When they scored their first touchdown, they should have went for two there. They should have tried to take the game after the touchdown to six. Even if you fail, you're down eight, you then go for another 2-point, right? So a 2-point conversion in essence is a coin flip. It's a 50-50 proposition over time. If I told you, Colin, that you had to flip heads and get one, you'd say, all right, I'll take one out of two chances versus one out of one.
Right.
The only thing I didn't agree with is if you knew you were going to go for two, they should have went for two on the first one, not just go for two on the last play of the game where you either win or lose because you don't get a redo.
So I want to talk about the game you did, the Patriots-Colts game. And, you know, Greg, there's about six quarterbacks in this league. You know who they are. Your Russells, you played with Russell, Aaron, Mahomes. I think Herbert's kind of moving into there. Tom, Brady, that I don't know if they're leading or trailing. I can't tell. If you took the score out, I can't tell. Everybody else is either the young quarterbacks, Mac Jones, looked like he was trailing, or the average quarterbacks, when everybody knows they have to throw, you know, like I would say Baker a little bit. When he has to throw, he's not as effective. So when I watched Mac Jones, my takeaway was, well, that was playoff football. You've got to throw. Everybody in the arena knows it. And he's just not there yet. It's not a knock on him. I just felt like I could tell he was not as comfortable. But now, you played in the game. You were there. What was your takeaway on Mac and their offensive performance?
Yeah, through the first three quarters, he seemed to be just completely unlike what we saw going in. When we talked going in, we talked with Josh McDaniels. Everyone just raved about his composure, his decision-making. You know, we talked on the broadcast about where he starts his eyes. He always understands the post-snap read. Where does my progression take me? And for a young player, that's really what he hung his hat on. He doesn't have the biggest arm. He wasn't making the Patrick Mahomes wow throws. He was just very efficient. And then through the first three quarters of Saturday night against Indy, he was everything but that. But I will give him credit, and we pointed this out during the game. In the fourth quarter, after everything had gone wrong in the first three quarters, they really struggled. He struggled. That fourth quarter, he gave them a shot. They're a Jonathan Taylor 75-yard touchdown from getting that ball back with a minute 20 down three. So they had their chances, and a lot was how he played in the fourth quarter. But yeah, like you said, if you don't have one of those top five or six guys that you're paying $40 million, offensive play callers are always trying to run the ball when we don't have to run the ball, and pass the ball when we don't have to pass the ball. Because if you find yourself in a flipped situation and you are not just significantly above average in those two areas, that's when defenses take advantage. That's when the turnovers come. That's when the sacks come. And we saw a little bit of that Saturday night with New England.
What do you make the last couple of years, later in the year, Kyler Murray's completion percentage kind of plummets. He's just not the same quarterback. My guess is the both years he's been banged up, and he's a guy that needs his feet and legs. Like, that's who he is. Would you be worried at all today about Arizona and what we've seen?
I am. I'll be honest. Through the first, 10 weeks of the season, they were riding high. They were the team in the NFC, especially, Green Bay was reeling there for a little bit, the whole Rodgers situation. And then the Cowboys kind of lost their groove there for a few. They're still struggling to find it back. And there was Arizona just week in and week out. And it's really been the last few weeks. You don't want to lose your stride this time in the year. Every team is going to go through their few week kind of stretch where things don't go their way. You might lose a game. You got to win. You might have a struggle offensively or defensively, whatever. But you can't do it in the last two or three weeks of the season. And that's what concerns me. This is the time of year when you got to be getting hot. This is the time of year you've got to get healthy. You've got to really find who you are and what you can hang your hat on come playoff time. So I am a little concerned. I mean, with only 3 weeks to go, they're coming off a few really tough weeks. Last week's loss to Detroit was really bad. So, I mean, they've got to find it, and they've got to find it quick. Because if you go limping into the playoffs, especially with some of these teams in the NFC, you could find yourself one and done after having what's been a really remarkable season overall for them.
You know, we know we're going to have an upset in the playoffs. We're probably going to have an upset in the AFC, and we're going to have an upset in the NFC. So here's my guess today. Whoever plays the Niners or the Colts, and they're both the same to me. They're really physical. Even Michael Pittman's a physical receiver, even Deebo Samuel, is that you get into these ugly, hard, cold games. Now, Indy will be on the road, right? They're not going to have home field. Like, so you did the Colts, and when I watch the Colts, I see the Niners and vice versa. I'm like, I wouldn't want to play that team. I wouldn't want to play, because, I mean, there are times that some of these top teams can be a little finesse. Kansas City can be a little pretty. Talk about facing underdog physical teams in big moments. Because the Colts and the Niners, I'd want no part of in the postseason.
Yeah, I think those are the two. I think those are two that are going to be wild cards. They're going to go on the road. They're going to play a division winner. And that division winner is going to be sitting there saying, of all the teams we drew, we had to take these guys. And we saw it firsthand with the Colts the other night against New England. You know, New England had the number one defense by every stretch of the imagination. I mean, the points they'd given up over the last couple of weeks and whatnot was just incredible. And Indy came out and said, we don't care how big you are up front. We don't care how good you are built. They just kept going and running at him. And Carson Wentz didn't even really do anything. You know, we talked all week about Carson Wentz is going to have to do something. Bill Belichick's not going to let them just run the ball with Jonathan Taylor. And that offensive line said, line up. You know we're going to run it. And they just kept banging their heads against them. And they made the plays. And that defense is so fast. That defense is so opportunistic. And, you know, Darius Leonard and the interceptions and the forced fumbles, it almost seems like they force three or four a game. They are just a really unique, unique combination of those in that regard. But I will say, yes, running game, yes, defense will take you a long way. At some point, like we just said about Mac Jones and New England, at some point when it matters or things don't always go your way, you don't always get the turnovers, you don't always have the run game going, you have to throw the ball in this league if you want to win a championship. That is just always going to be the case. So at some point, Carson Wentz, Garoppolo, who's playing a lot better this last couple weeks, he's really playing efficient. I just went back and watched their game from yesterday against Atlanta. If their quarterbacks can just play solid, they don't need to be Tom Brady. If they can just play solid and the defense and the run game stay status quo, those two teams are a nightmare draw.
Greg Olson doing a great job. Good seeing you again, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
You bet. Look no further for the next big thinker, first-in-class technology, leader in innovation, Mercedes-Benz 2021 class of SUVs. Learn more at MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Jaguars are looking for a new head coach after letting go of Urban Meyer last Thursday. During the Texans-Jags game, the broadcast crew said that Trevor Lawrence admitted during a production meeting that he wants a say in the hiring of the next coach. Owner Shad Khan agrees that he should have some input. Lawrence did acknowledge that he's not qualified to make the hire, but that he welcomes some role in the decision-making process. Daryl Bevel is serving as the interim head coach. They are now 2-12 and own the number one draft spot after this weekend's loss to the Texans. I know there's some people are going to have a kind of over-the-top reaction to this statement. I have no problem with this.
Yeah, I mean, I always think you go to somebody and go, hey, what's your opinion on this? Right. I've had my bosses in my career say, hey, what's your opinion on this person? I'm not making the decision, but I get input, right?
Well, especially if it's a person that you're going to be working directly around with and has absolute influence over the future of your career. And when you look at how things have gone this year and Trevor Lawrence's first year in the NFL, it's been a disaster. So why shouldn't he? Look, Trevor Lawrence has struggled a lot this year. I mean, it's very obvious. And he's not developing. And that is, in my opinion, not his fault. If you're firing the coach in the middle of the season, I'm not putting any blame on the rookie quarterback for the struggles that he's having.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of prospect he came into the league as. Like, you can only overcome so much dysfunction. You can only overcome so much of the talent around you. Like, does he have the potential to be great? I think we all saw that. We were talking about him as a pro when he was a freshman in college.
Right.
But this was a terrible situation for him to come into the league in. It's very obvious it was, or he would still have a coach there. So who the next head coach is, what they bring in Jacksonville, is going to determine the future of his career. Like, it's
right.
These are the development years. These are the years where he's able to make those mistakes and grow as a pro. He needs to be in a functional situation. So I have no problem whatsoever with them saying, hey, do you get along with this guy? Do you guys align in how what works for you, like how you like to train or whatever it is?
I don't.
Everybody has a different way of doing things. And if it doesn't match, how is that good for anybody? The coach that they bring in or him?
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville has struggled with its culture seemingly forever, right? So, I mean, it was good when Coughlin was there as a young coach. Then he went to the Giants. So I just think input matters. I think it, for broadcasters, for anybody, go to somebody who's valuable in your company and say, hey, just give me your opinion. I just like more eyes and more opinions. Just give me information, and then I'll try to decipher it if I owned something. But I want to hear what he has to say. Who are you comfortable with? What kind of personality works for you?
Yeah, and when you're doing these meetings and you're doing these interviews, you should get his input on whether he gets, just at the basic level, whether he aligns with them as a human being. Like, right. This, if he doesn't and he struggles, that coach is going to get fired anyway. So why wouldn't you want to get his input? Again, not make the hire based off of what he says or what he wants, but you should consider what's your franchise quarterback. That's what he is. Wants and needs in order to develop, maybe even just on a personal level.
Yeah.
So the Panthers are struggling. They lost 31-14 to the Bills. And following the game, Matt Rhule had no problem taking the blame off of the play calling and placing it on his quarterback.
It's a zone read play. It shouldn't be thrown. It's a zone read. There's a bubble on there in case an unblocked blitzer comes, you know. But, you know, we point, the mic point, you know, we had that guy blocked. So that's just an error by the quarterback. That should be a handoff first down, or he pulls the ball. There's only one guy over there. So just a poor execution, but it was the right play call by Jeff. I mean, it's going to be a first down.
Okay, look, we can all assume that Cam Newton is not going to be there next year.
I don't know who is.
But this is on a macro level. I don't want to hear this, that it's on Cam Newton. What was Sam Darnold doing before Cam Newton got there? Before his injury, Sam Darnold was 59.5 completion percentage, 7 passing touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 71.3 passer rating. It's not like he was lighting the world on fire.
I still can't figure.
And you weren't throwing Sam Darnold under the bus.
Well, Bruce Arians will rip Brady, so I don't.
That's Tom Brady.
No, I mean, I don't have a problem with quarterbacks getting criticized. But my question is, what's happened to Cam? Like, I watched this game. Like, what has...
I mean, Cam is struggling. That's
like,
fine.
But I don't even think it's struggling. It's like something is not right. This is... There's struggling, and then there's what I watched yesterday. It's like, what has... Is it a coaching issue? Now, Brady's gone, so they have a new coordinator. Is it a play-calling issue? Just something is just... It's like, with Russell Westbrook, I always was a critic.
Right.
Like, I just never understood it. With Cam, I was like, he's not my cup of tea, but there are things he does well. Now, he didn't do anything well. And it's like, what has happened?
He was also sacked 4 times.
No, I mean, listen, it's Carolina's. This is not a great place for a quarterback. Like, it's just not.
I mean, Matt Rhule is 10-20 as the Panthers head coach. So I'm not saying that Cam doesn't deserve some criticism. He's not playing well. That's fine. I don't love Matt Rhule getting up there and breaking down exactly why it's on Cam Newton and it's not on the coaches. Like, you're 10-20. Cam Newton wasn't there for all of that.
But what's the question?
Sam Darnold was struggling. I mean, is this the answer in Carolina? I don't know. I'm not, like,
no,
I'm
I
just
think
saying, like, overall, if I'm going to place the blame of what's happening in Carolina, it's not going to be at the feet of Cam Newton. Sam Darnold was struggling,
no,
too.
No, what I'm saying is the question, if you listen to the answer, appeared to be somebody asked him about a specific play.
Right.
And he's answering, yeah, we shouldn't have done that play. So, like, when Bruce...
But he, like, very specifically broke down why it is not on the coaching and on Cam Newton.
Yes.
Again, if Bruce Arians wants to criticize the greatest quarterback in the history of planet Earth, that's fine. That's one thing. And clearly Tom Brady and him are on the same page,
right,
as to, like, this is acceptable behavior. But, like, it just feels a little bit like it's like, well, the reason we're struggling is because Cam Newton's not playing well. Like, Sam Darnold wasn't playing well either. And you guys are 10-20, and you just fired
now,
the offensive coordinator.
Now, in fairness, they did rip Sam Darnold. Matt did rip Sam. Remember the game that he had three? It was awful. He had 3 picks, and Matt Rhule said, you know, Sam's making bad throws. I thought
Sam's making bad throws, and then specifically breaking down.
But I'm saying
down,
I'm not going to protect quarterbacks. They're all rich. I'm not going to protect them.
I'm not into the protecting thing. I'm just saying, like, what's wrong with Carolina is not just with Cam.
Well, they have a million personnel issues.
Like, there's a lot going on here. They're 5-9 and last in the NFC South. Like, this offseason, there's going to have to be some major changes there. They host Tampa Bay on Sunday. There's currently no odds, according to FoxBet. So the Ravens were unable to pull off the win. It was a really fun game, though.
Oh, I thought it was incredibly entertaining.
Like Tyler Huntley a lot. Should be proud of his performance. 2 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. He was undrafted and played at Utah last year. He was 28 of 40, 215 yards, 99.5 passer rating, 73 rushing yards. Really nice performance. They lost 31-30 on a failed 2-point conversion attempt to Mark Andrews in the fourth quarter. I didn't like them going for it. I think you just kick the field goal and play some defense. You're at home. When you're on the road, I think you go for the win. When you're at home in this situation, I think you go to overtime.
Mark Andrews is one of those players that we all know is good. Nobody, we all know it. I think we have to start putting him in like Travis Kelce in terms of hands blocking, routes. He is fantastic.
He's really good.
And the other thing is, like Travis Kelce, who's faster, he's always open. Like when you know somebody's great and he's always open, Mark Andrews is fantastic.
Well, it was an unfortunate loss for the Ravens, though. They were bumped out of playoff contention with the loss, so they're currently the 8th seed in the AFC. They can move back up into the standings with a win over the Bengals in Cincinnati this weekend. They're currently 2.5-point underdogs, according to Fox.
Listen, this Cleveland game today is gigantic.
The AFC North is completely wide open. Like every game is
different.
A playoff. Every game is a playoff game for every team from this
Pittsburgh's point on. Offense is unwatchable. Defense was great yesterday. Cleveland is a little bit of both, kind of a run-driven franchise. Baltimore is an injury-riddled mess with a very good pass rush that kind of just figures out ways to make plays and win. And then Cincinnati, I love their offense. I think there's some limitations defensively, but they're playing well. They're all kind of different variations of
question marks.
Yes, like there's if you combined all the teams for a unit, you'd be like, or our team, you'd be like, fantastic. And I'll say it today, I think Cleveland's going to run the ball, control the clock, and win ugly low scoring against the Raiders. I really do. I know they have all this COVID crap, but I think I just text a sports betting person today. I asked him, I said, who do you like? Somebody I trust. He's like, Cleveland under. I think Cleveland's going to win an ugly. Now watch him get blown out and Nick Mullins be terrible.
Listen, the NFL has been, it's just been the season of parody this year.
I've seen so many teams, Rams. Now
the Lions got. The Lions smoked the Cardinals yesterday.
Wasn't competitive. Ever. Was not competitive. The Jags beat the Bills. I've seen things all year where I'm like, you have to be buttoned up in this league and ready to go. And
look at the Bucs Saints last night.
There's a force within a bunch of guys that not you play with fear, but you know you have to be on. I think Cleveland today is like, we're at home. We still have a better personnel than we have to be totally on it. And I think they'll play elevated football for Nick Mullins, who in a game like Colt McCoy, you can win a game with him at home. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Howie Long around the corner. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season.
This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm taking the Browns today. They still have Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, John Johnson, their best linebacker. They have Nick Chubb, three offensive line starters, David Njoku, and Donovan Peoples-Jones, and Rashard Higgins. I think they're going to win. I think it's going to be ugly, and Nick Mullins is going to win. By the way, Nick Mullins' career completion percentage is 64.5%. Baker's is 62. Now, Baker's got a bigger arm. He's bigger, throws a better ball, but they're both kind of cocky, a little small. They move a little okay. They can complete passes. They got an edge to them. They have a Taylor Heinicke kind of feel to them. So I think Cleveland's going to win today. It's funny about this. For years and years, Kevin Durant does this. He calls NBA fans. He'll say, "You're a casual." And my take is almost all fans are casual. Fans with jobs. Like, we have kids and jobs and wives. People don't sit around talking NBA unless, like, they work in the league or the league pays them and it's their job. You know, for Woj, he's not a casual. That's his job. For most of you who you have lives, I've never bought into this whole, "Well, I'm a true fan." Owners don't care. Leagues don't care. You know what they want? They want you to buy the most expensive seats, eat a bunch and drink a bunch, and buy a bunch of merchandise for your kids so you spend a lot of money. That's what owners want. That's what leagues want. If you're sitting in the third deck and you pack your own lunch and you never buy anything and you never buy jerseys, but you care more about the team, it's irrelevant. They don't care. We all know what moves sports. They want you to buy a suite. They don't care. They don't care if you go to any of the games. If you bought a suite, the owner knows your name. They know the owner. They know the names of everybody who buys their suites. They don't know the names of the people in the third deck. The reality is the true fan thing doesn't mean anything. So when anybody says, "Well, I'm a true boxing fan," does that get your kid into a nice school? I don't understand what it means. Jake Paul's interesting, and he's more interesting than 99% of the boxers out there. Well, he's not he's only fighting. He's fighting who at this point in his career? He's had five fights. You want him to fight ranked fighters? No. By the way, go back and look at Mike Tyson's first 20 fights. He fought stiffs and tomato cans because you want to build up the confidence and build up and refine the skills. Jake Paul is not a natural boxer. He's a YouTube, big, tough kid, YouTube star that over the last 2 years has committed to fighting. He's pretty good for what he is. But I watched him knock out Tyrone Woodley. Tyrone Woodley is a UFC fighter of some acclaim. He's like a real athlete. He's a professional athlete who won a lot of money in a lot of fights, and he knocked him out cold. Not anybody watching the show could do that. Like, that's hard to do. Tyrone Woodley is a real combatant. Like, this is what he does. He trains for a living. I'm not saying that Jake Paul's a great fighter. What I'm saying is, all you athletes, good luck. Because this is what this kid now does. He's a 6'5", 245, big kid, big right hand. He's athletic enough that he's training his butt off. He's totally committed. And if you think he's a pro athlete, you can just walk in there. I'm like, if he tags you, go ask all these Nate Robinsons and these Tyron Woodleys. Go ask these. He's knocking athletes out cold. Like, knocking them out. Like,
Say what you want, and you can be a true boxing fan. That's entertaining. I'm fascinated by it. And I've been fascinated. Why? Because he's taking it seriously. If I felt it was just a money grab, but every fight I watch him, his footwork's a little better. He moves side to side a little better. He's in a little better shape. If you take something seriously, you don't have to be Ali. If you're an artist and you take it seriously, I respect that. I respect Jake Paul for his commitment to the craft.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.